everybody, Bob Plaster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, a full hour of comedy, which airs every Sunday night here on KCRW. And about 4 years ago, I did a program on birth and babies, which coincided neatly with the birth of my first child, my son Max. And now it's time to do it again, because if you were listening last week, you heard the wonderful news that my daughter Zoe Rose was born to my wife and myself at 5:52 in the morning on Friday the 23rd of February, weighing in at 9 pounds, 6 and a half ounces. And my wife Kathy did a spectacular job, and we've got ourselves a wonderful, healthy baby girl, and real grateful for that. And I hope you'll be grateful for the comedy you're going to hear during the next hour, which all has to do with babies and childbirth and all of that. We're going to start off dealing with the main debate in obstetrics today, whether to have natural childbirth or unnatural childbirth. And to present the contrast, we'll have Bill Cosby, and then follow that with the Monty Python people.
My wife and I decided to bring our first child into the world by way of natural childbirth. Now, we were intellectuals, mind you, which means that intellectuals go to study things that people do naturally. You see, let's think about it. Intellectuals go to class to study how to do this. My wife and I sat in class to learn how to have natural childbirth. And the first thing they teach you is that you have to breathe properly. See, so when you press down on the muscles, the breathing. That's my wife's job. So she's there. And she was good. Now the father's job, and the father must be there for these classes. And they give the father a diploma also. And if you don't get a diploma, you cannot come to the birth. See? So my job is to bend my wife in half and say, push. Now, if I don't go to class, I don't get a diploma for this. So I can't come to the birth. So my wife is there, and I'm there, push. And I'm the cheerleader. Push him out. Shove him out. Way out. Push him out. Shove him out. Way out. And my wife is a wonderful breather. And we were the best in our class. And I began to breathe with my wife, macho style. Zuff, woof, whiff, woof, push, push. Zuff, woof, whiff, woof, push, push. We went to parties and people asked us to breathe. Ladies and gentlemen, the breathing Cosbys. Push, push. Natural childbirth. Natural childbirth means no drugs will be administered into the female's body during the delivery. The father can have all he wants. On the ninth month, my wife called to me from the balcony of our California home. Bill! I became excited. I said, push! Then I remembered, we have to go to the hospital for the natural childbirth. So I run into the car. I got a Ferrari. I do 104 from the garage to the front door. So my wife comes out. She gets in the car. 180, and we're breathing. Zuff, woof, 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 push, push. And I'm in my Ferrari, man. $17,000 Ferrari. And my wife said, oh, I said, no, dear, please, wait, not here. No, not in the Ferrari, please. And I pull over. We go in the bushes. We go in the bushes, but no, I'm not in the car, dear. She said, oh, Bill, get out of here. Not in the car. Hold everything. I'll get you there. So we pull up to the hospital. The Marx Brothers jump out. Woo, ah, woo, woo. Put my wife in the wheelchair. Run her down to the delivery room. I sign her in. They put the hat on me, the thing on backwards, the booties on the shoes. I run into the delivery room. They got my wife all prepped and her legs way up in the stairs. And the doctor's sitting there like Johnny Bench.
Woo!
Now, the first real pain hit my wife. And my wife said, and I said, push. Carol Burnett described what labor pains feel like. She said, take your bottom lip and pull it over your head. The second pain hit. My wife said, "What?" and stood up in the stirrups. Grabbed my bottom lip. And said, "I want morphine." I said, "But dear Zuff, she said, "You shut up. You did this to me." And on the next contraction, she told everybody in the delivery room that my parents were never married. Now we're back to breathing. And I'm sitting there, push, push. My wife's getting tired. "I don't want to push anymore. I don't want to push." "No, you've got to push, dear. Come on, dear. You've got to." "I don't want to. Oh, no, no. Bill, tell him to give me some." "No, dear, you can do it." "No, I don't want to graduate from the class anymore. I just want to, please, dear, come on, you can do it." And I look in the rearview mirror and I see the head. And Johnny Bench is still sitting there like. So I said, "Isn't that the head?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, go get it." He says, "It's stuck." I said, "Well, get the salad spoons, man." So he gets the salad spoons, and the baby comes out. Now this is the greatest moment in our lives. This is what we asked God for. This is what we wanted to see if we could make. And I looked at it. And they started to clean it off. And it wasn't getting any better. And I went over to my wife and I kissed her ever so gently on the lips. And I said, "Darling, I love you very, very much. You just had a lizard
Mrs. Moore's contractions are more frequent, Doctor.
Good, take her into the fetus frightening room.
Right.
Pum, pum, pum. Jolly good.
It's a bit bare in it there, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, more apparatus, please, nurse.
Yes, Doctor.
The EEG, the BP monitor, and the AVV.
Yes, certainly, Doctor.
And get the machine that goes bing! And get the most expensive machines in case the administrator comes. That's it, bring it in, bring it right up. Yes, it's just behind you. Lovely, lovely. Jolly good, that's better, that's much, much better. Yes, more like it. Still something missing, though.
Hmm?
Hmm.
the patient.
Anyone see the
patient?
Ah, here she is.
Bring it over here.
Mind the machine.
Come along.
Come along.
Jump up, then.
Hello, now don't you worry.
We'll soon have you cured.
Leave it all to us, you'll never know what hit you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Drips up. Injections.
Can I put the tube in the baby's head?
Only if I can do the episiotomy.
Okay. Okay.
What do I do?
Nothing, dear. You're not qualified.
Leave it to us.
What's that for?
That's the machine that goes bing. You see, that means your baby is still alive.
And that's the most expensive machine in the whole hospital.
Yes, it cost over £750,000.
Aren't you lucky?
The administrator is here, Doctor.
Switch everything off. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning. Oh, very impressive, very impressive. And what are you doing this morning?
It's a birth.
Ah, what sort of thing is that?
Well, that's when we take a new baby out of a lady's tummy.
It's wonderful what we can do nowadays. Ah, I see you have the machine that goes bing. This is my favorite. You see, we lease this back from the company we sold it to, and that way it comes under the monthly current budget and not the capital account. Thank you, thank you. We try to do our best. Well, do carry on.
Oh, the valve is dilating, Doctor.
Oh, yes, there's the head. Yes, 4 centimeters, 5, 6 centimeters.
Lights!
Amplify the ping machine.
Mast up.
Suction.
Eyes down for a full house.
Here it comes. And frack it. Here.
And the rough toes.
Show it to the mother. That's enough.
Right, sedate her.
Number the child.
Measure it, blood type it, and isolate it.
Okay, show's over.
There they go.
A boy or a girl?
Now, I think it's a little early to start imposing roles on it, don't you? Now, a word of advice. You may find that you suffer for some time a totally irrational feeling of depression. PMD, as we doctors call it. So, it's lots of happy pills for you, and you can find out all about the birth when you get home. It's available on Betamax, VHS, and Super 8.
Somewhere in the world, a baby is born every 1.7 seconds. This means that in the time it takes to fry an egg in a conventional frying pan, over 137 babies have been born. Unless you like your egg really crispy and golden brown on the outside like I do, in which case you could have over 200 really crisply fried babies. Or if you're cooking on gas, about 194.
So I'll exploit my daughter for some cheap laughs. The most precious thing in my life. My bride and myself, we pounded out a baby. She's 9 months now. Pounding out a baby, I think that's pretty sensitive 80s male of me, isn't it? And I was there during the delivery. We had a C-section. That's, you know, instead of the baby coming out normally, they just cut my bride open and took the baby out. Which was kind of interesting, because they just took my baby out, when she came out, she was smiling, because most kids got those pointy heads when they're born. Because, you know, they go through that, like, Play-Doh fun factory of life. So, you know, my baby came out and she's smiling when she's born, which is pretty weird. And, because obviously she didn't see who the old man was right now. Yeah, my father! Ah! I'll be back in here until I can drive. So I was there. This is what a self-centered jerk I am. Like they said, Mr. Goldthwait, we're going to have a C-section. And instead of going, God, man, that's going to be so painful, I went, oh, great. Like, I took Lamaze for nothing. So I'm there in the operating room. They take my baby out. And I'm not making this up. The doctor wanted me, you know, this being California, they still wanted me to be part of the experience. So, they said, Mr. Goldthwait, would you like to cut the cord? And I sincerely said this. I said, isn't there anyone a little more qualified? Like, I'm the guy in the operating room. You go, yeah. No, not the doctor. Let's give him the sharp thing. Give him the sharp thing around the infant. I said, I'll cut the cord if you knock like $200 off the bill. So then they took my baby into that baby aquarium, you know. That room with all the screaming babies. And everyone's going, is that your baby? And I go, no. And is that your baby? No. Every baby looks like me. They have no hair and they're screaming their heads off. Is that yours? No.
I just became a dad. What? No, come on. No, don't applaud. Don't applaud. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, this is corny. But I went into the delivery room, right? And so did my wife because I wanted her support. And I was in there, and this is I'll never forget this day. It was the most beautiful day of my life. I remember looking my wife right in the eyes and going, this is beautiful. I mean, this is it. This is life. This is creation. This is what it's all about. And I'll never forget that she looked right back at me. She looked at me right in the eyes, and she said, ah! She always says that. And now I have a daughter. I have a little girl. No, but think about this. Think about this. Look at me and think. Look and think about, I am somebody's dad. Isn't that weird? Guys are gonna have to come to the door and meet me.
Wonderful baby, living on love. The Sandman says maybe he'll take you above. Up where the girls fly on ribbons and bows, where babies float by, just counting their toes. Wonderful baby, nothing but new. The world has gone crazy, I'm glad I'm not you. At the beginning, or is it the end? It goes in and comes out and starts over again. Oh, you're a wonderful baby, living on love. The Sandman says maybe he'll take you above. Up where the girls fly on ribbons and bows, where babies float by, just counting their toes. Wonderful baby, I watch while you grow. If I knew the future, you'd be first to know. But I don't know nothing of what life's about. Just as long as you live, you never find out. Wonderful baby, nothing to fear. Love whom you will, but doubt what you hear. They'll whisper sweet things and make you untrue. So be good to yourself, that's all you can do. You're a wonderful baby, living on love. The Sandman says maybe he'll take you above. Up where the girls fly on ribbons and bows, where babies float by, just counting their toes. Where babies float by, just counting their toes.
Okay, in that first set of things on our show about babies and childbirth, we heard from Bill Cosby, from Monty Python, basically featuring John Cleese and the late Graham Chapman, Bobcat Goldthwaite, Howie Mandel. A lot of people get those two people confused, so I thought, what the hell, might as well just further that a little bit by playing them back to back. By the way, the reason that record went ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk is because the name of the album, the Howie Mandel album, is Fits Like a Glove, and somebody at Warner Brothers decided, wouldn't it be a cute idea if we stuck a rubber glove in with every record that we sent out to DJs? And so, as a result, there's this rubber. I mean, I tried to get it off the record. I couldn't. That's the ka-chunk, ka-chunk you heard was the rubber, because Howie Mandel sticks a rubber glove over his face and blows it up like a balloon, and this is what passes for comedy in the 1980s. At any rate, he's a very funny guy, Howie Mandel. And then we heard a little song by Don McLean, a fellow graduate of New Rochelle High School. I think he was from New Rochelle. Anyhow, let us press on with some of the more traditional views of the birth experience, first starting with Bob Newhart and then a piece by Don Knotts.
I was recently married. I was married January 12th, and we had a son 5 weeks ago. Now, to save you the trouble of counting on your fingers, that works out. It works out. But they say that a man can never have a child because he could never stand the pains that a woman goes through in delivering a baby. And this is true. But a man does go through a little hell, too, you know. And after you're all finished and you have the baby, you begin to wonder how the world ever got overpopulated, because everybody swears, that's the last one, that's the last, I'm not going through that again, I'm not going through that. What happens, you read books, and you can read all the books in the world, and it isn't going to cover it, you know. But when it actually happens, believe me, you will turn to jelly like I did and like every other expectant father does. My wife is very calm about it. I'm lying in bed, and I just heard some noise or something, a suitcase, and I wake up, and I say, what's the matter, honey? And she says, I think we better go to the hospital. Now, my immediate reaction is to just panic, but you've read in these books that you should be very calm. So I tried to be calm. I said, okay, honey. I said, now, have you been timing the contractions? She said, yes, they're about 5 minutes apart. Well, now, one of the books said this means 6-7 hours, and we're 45 minutes from the hospital. But that's another thing you'll find out, that all obstetricians, any self-respecting obstetrician, will always have his office 45 minutes away from the hospital that he practices at, you see, and it's usually about an hour away from your home. This is for the father's benefit, so he can go crazy on the way to... because you always have visions of having to deliver the baby, you know, and this can turn you into dealing. Anyway, I'm trying to be very calm. I said, all right, honey, you finish packing the suitcase. And by the way, you never use anything in the suitcase. They tell you to pack a suitcase. This is just to give the wife something to do while the husband is getting dressed, because you take the little bag down to the hospital and they shove it off in a corner and they give it to you when you leave, you know, and it's never opened. So I went in the bathroom and I shaved and I put the Band-Aids on my face. Came out, you know, and I said, well, okay, honey, I think we'd better go. And she said, aren't you going to call a doctor? I said, of course. That's very good. He should know about it. He said, you should. So he can be there, or at least a representative of his. So I went into the den very calmly, looked up his number in the phone book, and dialed his number, picked up the phone, and said, baby! And hung up. And we went down. We got in the car. You know, we're driving along. And we're about 15, 20 minutes on our way to the hospital. And my wife says, you know, you call the doctor. I said, yeah, honey. I said, Dr. Miller would be down there about half an hour, you know, and nothing. She said, Dr. Miller's my dentist. What the hell do you call my dentist? So I said, well, they talk to other doctors, and, you know, I'm sure he'll know what to do, you know. If a cab driver can deliver a baby, certainly a dentist can, you know. And of course, whenever you're in a hurry, there's always two people in front of you who are practicing for a parade of some kind. They're going about 2 miles an hour, you know. And my wife is timing the contractions now on the auto clock, and they're not too reliable anyway, you know. And they're about 3 minutes apart, and this is beginning to worry me a little bit. So I'm zooming down Wilshire, and I finally get to the hospital and figure, you know, finally, well, we're here. There are a lot of doctors around and nurses, so my concern should be over, but it's not over. This is really when your troubles start. This hospital we went to is a strange hospital because they have a parking lot, and you have to put a quarter in this slot, and then the gate comes up. You know, they don't work on the honor system. Apparently, they figure, you know, you're going to drop your wife off and then take off to Acapulco or something, for, you know, until it's over. And it's not the easiest thing to hit at 20 miles an hour, which is which is about what I was doing when we arrived at the hospital. But finally, we got inside, and you go to the admitting office, you know, and there's a nurse there. She says, how do you do, sir? And what is your name? I said, my name is Newhart. She said, all right, Mr. Newkirk, and is this your wife? I said, no, this is a hitchhiker. She was hitchhiking down here to the hospital, and, you know, it's right on my way to work, and it isn't that far out of the way, so I figured I'd drop her off. She said, well, we have to have the husband sign the paper. I said, I am the husband. I was just a little attempted humor there. She said, now, sir, do you have Blue Cross or any other hospital plan? And I'm getting a little panicky now. I said, look, could I possibly, you know, answer the questions while you take my wife upstairs, you know? And she said, well, no, we need your wife to sign the form at the end of it, you know? So I said, well, if you wait about 15 minutes, all three of us can sign this form. That's very important. And with this, she panicked because she wasn't a nurse, it turned out. She's a clerk at the hospital, and she wouldn't have known what to do, you know, if the baby came there. So she got her in the elevator and got her upstairs. And they have two wonderful rooms, wonderfully titled rooms. They call one the labor room, and the other one is called the hard labor room. You know? In other words, you're going to scream your head off in this room, you know, which makes the wife feel great, you know. And you're allowed now to stay with your wife for a while until she goes into the hard labor room. So finally, they take my wife into the hard labor room, and you can find nothing out from any hospital people if you're an expectant father. You are the lowest form of life in a hospital. No one, even maintenance people, will have nothing. Will have nothing to do with it. And there are people running around, you know, with various assorted pans of one kind or another, with worried looks on their faces. And I don't think they're nurses. They're just people that are hired to run around looking worried, because this makes the father feel better, you know, that they're concerned. And then they have the father's room. It's sort of a torture chamber that they've devised to drive the father nuts while the wife is having the baby. And this is filled with guys you just wouldn't believe. You know, they're all sitting like that. And there's one guy in there who has just had a baby, and he is superior to everybody else, you know. He's sort of gloating, you know. And, of course, I'm trying to get information out of him, you know, and I say, gee, they just took my wife into the hard labor room. Like, what will it be, 15, 20 minutes, I guess? No. So, no. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, 5, 6, 7 hours. He said, you see that poor guy over there in the corner? 32 hours he's been. And there's a guy in the corner, he's not making any sense at all. He's going, mom, mom, mom. So as I say, I don't know how the world ever got overpopulated, because we swore we would never do it again. But it has a happy ending, because we had a little son, Robert William, and he was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. And, oh, I became a father officially the other day. You're officially a father, you know, when the baby is born, but you aren't really a father until your baby has gone all over you. And my son went all over me the other day, and I'm a member of an exclusive fraternity now. But believe me, when it happens, it's wonderful.
I'd like to talk to you about anxieties, but a particular kind of an anxiety, the one that fathers-to-be go through. Now, your wife is going to have a baby. Now, the anticipation is ecstatic. The anxiety begins, and for 9 months it builds, and it builds to mountainous proportions, and finally, the long-awaited moment arrives. Your wife tells you she thinks this is it. So you rush to the phone. You try to call your physician, but the line's busy, you see. So you call again. It's still busy. So finally, in desperation, you dial the operator, and I hope it's not a holiday, or this could happen to you. Hello, operator. This is an emergency. My baby's going to have a wife, and I'm trying to get our doctor, but I've been getting a busy signal for 20 minutes. Thank you. It's a state 4560. Hold on, Frida. Grit your teeth, honey. It's ringing. It's ringing now, so just hold. Hello? Dr. Benson's residence? This is Charlie Matthews. How are you, Mrs. Benson? Look, I'm awfully sorry to interrupt your party, but... Well, Happy New Year to you, too. Is the doctor there... He is? Oh, good. What? Well, how soon do you expect him down? Oh, he just came down. Good. Oh, I'm terribly sorry to hear about that. Was it an expensive chandelier? that's a shame, all the way from Rome. Yeah, that's too bad. Yes, I'll hold on. Hello, Dr. Benson? This is Charlie Matthews. Well, my wife's finally having... A happy New Year to you, too, Doctor. Listen, Frida's starting to get her pains every 15 minutes. Yeah, hold on. I'll tell her. Frida, Dr. Benson wishes you a happy New Year here. Doctor, the pains started about... How's she feeling? Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You see, she started having the pains an hour and 15 minutes ago, just about the stroke of midnight. Happy New Year to you, too, Doctor. Now, she's been getting the pains every 15 minutes, and now they're coming every 10 minutes. Well, do I have to? Well, I mean, is that necessary? Oh, but all right. I'll take the lead. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought? Listen, Doc. No, Frida's going to have her baby any minute. Well, I realize you're having your New Year's Eve party, and believe me, I feel terrible to have to interrupt you, but. That's very kind of you. But I don't think so. I really think we ought to stay home. it isn't that. It's just I don't think Frida would feel right having her baby at your party. Well, I realize you're willing to make room on the dance floor, and I sympathize with your predicament, but it's not my fault you promised your guests entertainment. Well, show them some x-rays or a couple of specimens. What's that, Frida?
The pains are coming closer together, Doctor. Now, look, if you're in no condition, could you recommend another doctor?
Well, that's kind of far. Do you have anybody closer?
I realize Schweitzer's a very competent man.
who?
No, I don't think I'd like to have Dr. Finch on this case. Yes, that's very funny.
Listen, don't you have anybody you're associated with?
Dr. Hathaway, fine. Let me write that down. Would you give me that? Riverside 466. All right, got that. Yes. You'll be the first to know. No, don't cry, doctor. Please, don't start crying. I honestly don't think they'll ever get socialized medicine through. I really don't. Okay, fine. Hold on, Frida. No, I'm calling Dr. Hathaway. Hello? Is Dr. Hathaway... Happy New Year to you, too. I'm calling for Dr... It is? That is a coincidence. Happy birthday, too. Is Dr... Well, I just don't have the time. I mean, I don't even know who this is. Well, all right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Dr. Hathaway's answering service. Happy birthday. Look, I got to speak to Dr. Hathaway. Is he there? Well, do you know where I can reach him? He's at a party at Dr. Benson's house? Well, thank you. I have that number.
What is it with everybody on New Year's Eve?
What's that, Frida? Happy New Year to you, too, dear. Hello, Dr. Benson's residence? May I speak to Dr. Hathaway, please? He's on the dance floor? Well, then, put Dr. Benson back on. He's on the dance floor, too, and you can't get them up. Could you possibly...
Good. Hold on, dear. They're going to hold the phone down to Dr. Benson.
Hello, Dr. Benson. This is Charlie Matthews. Happy New Year to you, too. Well, I called Dr. Hathaway, but he's at your house. I know you could have told me that.
Well, I didn't ask.
I don't think he's in a position to help at this point. I thought possibly you could recommend somebody else. No, I don't think I'd care to do that. I realize they've done some excellent work in the past. No, it's just that I don't think I'd like to have my first child delivered by a cab driver.
Who?
Oh, that's out of the question. Oh, I wouldn't want to take the chance.
Well, I did build a bookcase once.
No, but this is different. I want a doctor.
Who? Yes, I've heard of him. You think I can get him? Thank you, doctor. I'll call him right away. Hold on, Frida. Hold on. I think I've got it all worked out. Hello, is this Dr. Berger? The dentist? Is it too late for you to do an extraction?
Me. Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby will not be fooled. It's a thing brand new, does what it wants to, until you get it schooled. Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And our baby will play for real. If your I love you is an I owe you, don't expect to get a good deal. So look out, mama. Look out, dad. Your bundle of joy will not be had if the blanket is blue or if the blanket is pink. You best watch what you do, you best watch what you think. Careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby can spot your shtick. Oh, the coochie coochie coo is a lot of poo-poo when you spread it on that thick. Be careful, there's a baby in the house. And a baby is better than smart. It can waddle through all the stuff you do. Never mind your big head start. Be careful, there's a baby in the house.
That was Loudon Wainwright III with Be Careful, There's a Baby in the House. And before that, we heard Prenatal Anxieties by Don Knotts. And we started off with The Expectant Father by Bob Newhart. And if you just joined us, my name is Bob Claster. The name of the show is Funny Stuff. And this is KCRW Santa Monica, a community service of Santa Monica College at 89.9 FM. And we are National Public Radio for most of Southern California. And this edition of this program is about birth and babies.
I have a son who's 3.5 years old and another one who's 5 months old. And I'm not bragging about my son when I say this. He is very intelligent. And the reason I'm not bragging is because I think all children are very intelligent. They're really much more intelligent than we give them credit for. And they sort of hold back, you know, they don't let on that they're as intelligent or as bright as they really are. And Life magazine did an article recently on the intelligence of children and pointed out that children have an intelligence even prenatally, even before they're born. And so to sort of demonstrate this, I would like to present a set of twins 1 month before birth. You didn't think they stood up, did you, ma'am? I mean, what time is it? You know, what time? 3:30? Is it? Yeah, morning or afternoon? You know, I can't tell the difference either. I don't know. Yeah. Boy, I've got a cramp in my leg. It's just driving me crazy. You know. Where the hell does this cord go? Do you know where? I don't know, maybe we're electric. I don't know what the hell. They both asleep? You're sure they're asleep, huh? There you go. She's getting him up, yeah, she's getting him up. She said the baby just moved, yeah. He's coming over to listen. Yeah. Don't do anything when he comes over, right? That poor soul's a nervous wreck, you know that one? Boy, you forget the pill one night, it's bingo time, right? Huh? Is he going back to sleep now? There we go. He says, what the hell are you having, a baby or a kangaroo, huh? Oh, she's starting to cry now. She's going to cry herself to sleep all night again. Oh, did you hear him today? They were picking out names. Did you hear that? I hope you're Norbert. Oh, this afternoon we're going to the doctor's. I guess you know that. There's where we went to the doctor. Oh, yeah, he's beautiful, you know. He was diagnosing us as a bad cold up till 3 weeks ago. You know that. Oh, he's something else, I tell you. Do you ever have one of those nights you just can't get to sleep? You know what we haven't done for a couple of nights is a lot of fun? Let's press down with her false labor pains, huh? She's getting him up, yeah, she's getting him up. He just fell out of the bed, yeah. Oh, he's going to check with the books, see what he should do. Yeah. Oh, the book says to get a watch and time the contractions, see how far apart they are. Yeah. I don't care how far apart you want to make them, doesn't make any difference. Let's make them 10 seconds apart, that should shake them up pretty good, huh? They'll be afraid to get out of the bed, you know? Oh, you won't believe this. He just left. He left without her. I'm not putting you on, yeah? Yeah, we got a beauty for an old man, I'll tell you, boy. All right, don't press down anymore. Let's get some sleep. What do you mean you weren't pressing down? Well, I wasn't pressing down. Good Lord, this is it!
Not 2 hours ago, a little baby was born that has the power of speech and intelligence. The doctors are not able to tell us how or why. We have our cameras set up here, our tape recorders, and we're going to record the voice and intelligence of this two-hour-old baby. He's lying in his crib. We're going to put a little microphone in there now. We're going to try to contact him. I don't know if he will talk to us, but the nurses tell me he has been talking for the many hours he's been here. 2 hours, exactly. We're going to try. I'd like you to know the microphone is right by his head now. Little baby. Pardon me, little baby. Little baby. May we speak with you, little baby?
Hi, are you my dad? I haven't met my dad yet.
Amazing. He does speak, fortunately. He's talking. No, I'm not your dad. You haven't met your mother yet.
No, I haven't met Mom, but
You've been...
I have no Mom, sure. Yes. I've been around her.
But you haven't seen her? Yeah.
No, I haven't seen the outside, no.
I see. Do you hope that she is good-looking?
Oh, no, I don't care what she looks like. I'm not going to date her. I'm her child, you know.
I see, that's right. Because it doesn't matter what she looks like, it's what's inside of her.
Oh, I know she's good.
You do know?
I know she's good, because you can tell a person by what they are inside.
That's right.
Yes, and I was there. I was inside. I looked around. She's great.
I see.
Great woman. Wonderful person. Yes.
By the way, you don't have a name yet. It says just Baby Brooks on there.
Yes, it says it's on these little pink feet. Hey, I'm a girl. Hey. What the hell? I'm a little girl.
Well, I don't...
That's adorable.
Just a moment.
I think it's adorable. I'm a girl.
Just a moment. I think what? You don't... Do you see well yet?
No, it's kind of a blur.
Well,
but
that is
pink.
No, they're blue.
Oh.
You're a boy.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'll play ball and get drunk and things. I'll be fine.
You don't mind being a boy?
No. Is Bert Lancaster, what is he?
He's a boy.
Oh, that's good. I'll be like him.
Baby, it is most incredible that you're able to speak.
Yes, it's phenomenal,
idea,
isn't it?
Yeah. Any idea
it's
why
kind of frightening, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of kicky, isn't it?
Yes. But how did you, why were you given this gift? Well, how did it happen?
Well, it's very strange. I'm not sure myself. One of the doctors says it's like a tooth or
a prenatal tooth.
Yeah, that falls out when you're born.
The first hour of birth.
That's right.
Or prenatal hair on the.
That's exactly that. Wow. And this is a phenomenon of intelligence.
You may lose this intelligence.
I may, as you're talking to me, or a week later, but it'll fall out just like a tooth or extra hair.
Yes. Well,
sure.
We better find out things about you right now. While
go ahead.
There has been a lot written about prenatal memory before birth.
Yes.
Do you have any?
Oh, I remember when I was on a little tadpole, a little fetus there, swimming around.
Do you remember having a tail?
Sure. Oh, that was the best part.
You liked your
tail? Oh, I loved the tail.
Were you unhappy when it disappeared?
When I lost my tail, I got a nose.
You lose your tail?
And the nose is much more important because you can't blow your tail. You know what I mean?
If you get a cold,
no,
that's right.
That's right. Catch a cold, you can't blow your tail.
Could you hear the outside world? Could you hear your mother talking?
Yes.
It wasn't clear, I imagine.
No, it was very fuzzy.
You were enveloped in water.
Sure, in the water and everything. But I remember the man, probably my father,
yes.
You know, saying, well already, well already. You know, something like that.
May I translate for that for you? He was probably saying when already, because
when already,
he was anxious
yes.
for you to be born.
Yeah, sure. That's probably it.
You called. Now,
what
is it that makes a mother queasy or a little nauseous in the first 2 or 3 months of her pregnancy?
Well, I don't think it's physical, no.
It's not physical?
No, I think it's psychological. I think the moment they realize that there's a living creature in them, they puke. You know?
But why?
They get kind of scared.
But why?
Well, wouldn't you be nauseous if somebody was running around inside you? I mean,
but
it's kind of frightening, you know?
Never
I mean?
Thought of that. Never
sure.
thought of that.
It's a frightening thing.
Do you know what's going on in the outside world? Do you know the celebrities of the day? Do you know the important people in the
well,
world today?
Some. I don't know. I'm not sure.
You don't know what you know?
No.
Do you know, for instance, Mickey Mantle?
No.
Queen Elizabeth?
No.
Winston Churchill?
No.
Fidel Castro?
No.
Pandit Nehru?
No.
Have you heard of Cary Grant?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
You heard of
Grant? Well, everybody knows Cary Grant.
Well, how did you know him and nobody else?
Well, because my mother used to take me to a lot of Cary Grant pictures when I was inside her. See?
And you could...
It was muffled, but I kind of heard, Hampshire, Hampshire, baby, boy, Annie, you know, that was Cary Grant, right? Sure.
I see.
She never took me to Pandit Nehru movie, so I don't know what he said.
I see. Now,
I'm sure he's a hell of an actor.
Now, when you grow up, do you have any ambitions yet? What do you want to be when you grow
well,
up?
Well, I'd like to put on a little weight.
Oh, you will.
You know, I get bigger.
You
I
will.
Don't see how I could, you know, drive a bus or anything. I'm only about 7 pounds.
14, yes.
Sure.
But what else
smaller
would you like?
The wheel.
You know anything about your mother?
My mother is definitely an intellectual.
How do you know that?
Well, because she reads a lot of big, fat, heavy books.
How do you know that?
Because the books lay on my head. It's on resting on a belly, and they crush my head. I have,
Is that a beauty marker behind you?
No, that's a bookmark. That's one of those big, heavy books.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Baby, do you miss your umbilical cord?
Well, yeah, you get to kind of miss it, you know, because it's an appendage and it's there. And
for
it's
9 months,
slinger.
Yes.
But when I grow up, I'm going to get a keychain.
I'd like to know what you feel about your father.
I feel that Dad is the kind of guy that will gaga-san.
With what? With what? I didn't get that.
I feel that my father will always be the kind of guy that will take me to ball games and we'll be buddies and we'll sign my knife.
Will you sign knife? I don't understand you. What Sinai for? What does that mean?
I think that my father and I will probably get along well together, since we're both boys. We'll probably run around and play ball and give high
manaha. I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, he's losing his intelligence. Are you losing your power of speech?
Gagasan, no, Fana.
You still have your...
Falala, Gasan.
No, you're not making sense now.
What?
I don't understand you.
Oh. Hey, maybe
can you
just
pull yourself together?
Sure.
Hold yourself together.
Yes, I'll hold it together.
What
yes.
do you think
keep
we
that intelligence
to make
me,
the
yes.
world a better place to live in?
Bird.
What?
For Nile High.
What?
For mine.
What? Do what?
Joy, God, God.
What? You're losing. I don't understand.
What?
What?
Oh. What? What? What?
Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, as the poet said, comes all manner of things. But be that as it may, we are now joining once again those 3 or 4 month old babies outside the supermarket.
Morning, Rupert.
Morning, Hugh.
So your mother's been giving you beef broth again, then? You're covered in it.
It's terrible, isn't it? She's such a messy feeder. What's that stain on your bib?
Fish and macaroni.
I thought I recognised it.
Is your old woman making you feed yourself yet?
Because mine is.
Good Lord, no. What cheek. Are you standing for it, Rupert?
Well, I tried non-cooperation for a few meals, and I just starved. Of course, the old man was being very tough, stupid, great idiot.
Yeah.
Stood there stuffing it in himself as a sort of demonstration effort. and then he puked.
Well, I'm not surprised the muck we get.
Actually, talking about puking, I'm a bit worried. My old lady's sick every morning, and she says it's because she's having another baby. Well, I've been sick every morning for weeks. I mean, hang on, here comes Cyril and his ghastly mother. Oh, come on, scream, everyone.
I'm just going to get some din-dins for you, Chucky, Chucky, Chucky.
Din-dins.
Chucky, Chucky.
Morning, Cyril, sweetie.
Oh, do belt up, you fellows. I say you two look in a right old mess.
Rupert thinks he's having a baby.
Oh, wet nappies. Shut up, you. Might be a rabbit for all I know.
Hey! I'm getting christened next week.
You're
How
not.
About that?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I did that weeks ago.
Oh.
Everybody came, I got soaked, and they had a party.
Now, I must tell you, I had a laugh last week. Mother's been trying to teach me for weeks to say, mammy. It's embarrassing. So just after my bath, I gave her a big smile and said,
Auntie Dory.
You see, I haven't got an Auntie Dory. I nearly killed her, my only laugh of the week.
Shut up for Pete's sake. Here comes the vicar. Plan B.
Daddy.
It's all right, that shifted him. His wife looked a bit rattled, too.
Look out, here comes your mother again, Cyril. I'll
pretend to be asleep.
Okay.
Well, who's asleep then? Who's asleep? Who's asleep then?
I am, you silly old bag, and stop poking my cheeks.
You think I'm jealous about the new baby? I'm not. I love the new baby. I love the new baby. Today I was playing with the eyes, and I stuck my finger in her ear, and I was holding her tongue, and she didn't even cry. I love the new baby. I love the new baby. Ma, are you gonna keep that new baby? Ooh.
I just can't take it all in. Still I will remember Mama's little girl.
And, of course, that was Mama's Little Girl by Paul McCartney. And, of course, this program goes out to Mama's Little Girl and her mama and a few other people without whom, well, I suppose the birth would have been possible, but it would not have been anywhere near as pleasurable. Dr. Robert Friedland and his wonderful crew and Marianne Holderman at the birthplace at Santa Monica Hospital. A wonderful place to have a baby and wonderful people to have a baby with. Okay, we heard Paul McCartney, Mama's Little Girl. Before that, Danny Kaye and the New Baby from an album called Mommy, Give Me a Drink of Water. We'll be hearing a whole show of Danny Kaye in a month or two. The cast of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, featuring John Cleese with Baby Talk. Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner with The Two-Hour-Old Baby. And we started off that set with Bob Newhart and the Prenatal Twins. So, let's see, next week we'll be listening to Lily Tomlin. The address is Bob Claster, 1900 Pico Boulevard, KCRW 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And that's about it. So, you know, have kids, everybody. It's a lot of fun. Paying for it is a whole nother story, but having them is a lot of fun. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you all for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.